Jonathan Rand is the producer of this program, and he likes to sing.
Yeah.
It's time for Rand to
acapella the news. Well, thanks to Julio, we had this one in the can for a while, kind of waiting for a good time to do it. But, you know, it's a tough series, obviously, with Boston. And one might even say there's some warfare going on.
Patrice strikes behind the net, and now we're tied tonight. Dream of ways to penalize without the pain. Marshawn and Swayman, they're talking again. It's Trocheck warfare. Once the power play begins, need to find your favorite fins in Trocheck warfare. If you want more goals, why don't you say so? If you want more goals, why don't you say so?
Marshawn and Swayman, they're talking stuff again.
Love it.
See, Joe doesn't like John Mayer.
Yeah, the John Mayer thing.
We've been over this, but that's okay.
John Mayer.
Still very good.
John Mayer doesn't move me, man. He just doesn't move me.
Does Rand doing John Mayer move you?
No, it doesn't.
It's kind of like Kidz Bop.
Rand doing Garçon is much, much more better.
Or Gaston.
Garçon? Why is it Garçon?
I knew where you're going there.
Bam Adebayo. All right, let's answer some Hey Joe questions. Joe cracked the door.
All right, boys, first up at Hey Joe from David on Twitter. Hey Joe, does anything change with the recent perception of the Canes if they do, in fact, win Game 5?
I'm not quite sure what that means in terms of perceptions. I mean, I don't know. If the Carolina Hurricanes win tonight, it'll just break out the cliche that everybody's holding serve at home right now, that the series hasn't really started or whatever it is. So I think that's what the perception is. If they win tonight, it'll just be, yeah, they were supposed to win tonight. Can they win on the road Thursday night to wrap this series up and not chance it into a game 7 on Saturday, which, as we all know, game 7s, everything goes out the window if we could just continue the cliche train of the NHL postseason. But one thing, though, Gilio, that I think is fair to point out, you know, the NHL Stanley Cup playoffs are always a crapshoot. We understand that. Even with this particular model that's been around for a while, not the old 1-8. You know, look at the Florida Panthers, right? They needed overtime last night to even that series up with the Washington Capitals.
Yes, that late rally of the Panthers.
So even the team that's been the hottest going into the postseason finds itself here.
Yeah. I think all eight teams in the East have shown that they're all capable.
Next up.
Next up from Chris on Twitter. Hey, Joe, isn't every game a must-win in sports? Has there ever been a, man, we don't really need this game?
Yeah, the last game of the regular season the Canes played in.
Yeah, they didn't need that.
Didn't need it.
I mean, there's plenty of NFL games, week 17, that or whatever weeks there are now, where they don't matter. I mean, they'll rest the starters and all that stuff. It's not that big of a deal.
Although it does call to mind my favorite Ruff and McNeil line of all time. I think it was the second year they were playing like Carolina, they were playing State, and in between they played Old Dominion. And I remember just being at the old DU game, and someone had asked them, you know, this game, this isn't the one the players are focused on. They're looking ahead to NC State and Carolina. And Ruffin goes, hey, if you lose this game, guess what it becomes? you don't think it's a big game or a must win? Try losing the game. And ever since then, I was like, all right, that's a good point. That's a good point.
Next up from Shane on Twitter. Hey, Joe, which goalie would you start tonight?
Doesn't matter. I mean, I know that's not a popular thing to say. I know that there are dynamics at play in how a team will do in front of the right goal. I get all those things, but based on the first four games of this playoff series, I don't think who's in net matters. It's how the Canes play that matters in front of that netminder. It's basically, to me, don't go to the penalty box. Cash in those chances. Because I've honestly thought that both Antti Raanta and Peter Kochetkov have actually done about the same, in my opinion.
They were fine. They each have a loss up in Boston. You know, Ranta's a little bit more of a veteran player, but I'm with you. I don't think either one can play. They can win with either one in net.
Next up.
What's that you say, Mrs. Robinson?
Next up from Breck on Twitter. Hey, Joe, single favorite playoff memory of yours?
Single greatest playoff memory. Well, I mean, I guess winning the Stanley Cup in 2006 doesn't count because that's the easy answer, right? Right?
All right, so I got two.
I got one.
Go ahead, give me your one.
Well, it actually wasn't, you know, actually at the playoffs. It was the day Kelly and I got married in 2002 was when the Canes beat the Devils to advance out of that round. And I will never forget when the ceremony was over. One, shout out to Russ. His phone went off in the middle of the ceremony. Mind you, this is 2002, so it's not like you're getting the ESPN app, you know, little ding. It was like an actual text message tone that went through to give you an update. Number one. Number two, people came up to me not to say, hey, you know, beautiful ceremony, XYZ. It was, the Canes won! Did you know the Canes won? People actually went back to their cars, because again, so too, you don't have the internet on your phone, readily accessible. They went back to their cars to actually listen to the end of the game or the broadcast to find out what the result was. So yeah, that would be a fond memory.
Two good ones. I'll give you my favorite though. You said game seven can't count in 06 of winning here, winning the cup. But well after the game was over, long after, I still don't know why he was here, but Cuba Gooding Jr. was here.
Yes.
And he was running around the basement of the arena where we were working because we weren't in the workroom. Remember, in the playoffs, they put you like underneath the stands.
Yeah.
So we're back there, and all of a sudden you hear screaming down the halls, show me the money. And I was like, wait, that actually sounded like Cuba Gooding Jr. Was it really him?
Yeah.
And sure enough, it was him. 2 o'clock in the morning screaming, show me the money. In the bowels of PNC Arena. Still don't know why he was here.
Next up.
I need to know why I was there too. I'm very curious.
Yeah,
now.
It's just
I think he was promoting like a Fox TV series or something. It was one of those Ally McBeal deals. Like we don't know why.
Yeah, I don't remember.
Last up from Hank on Twitter. Hey Joe, does Tom Brady not like his family?
You know, I'm actually starting to think that. So come to find out that, according to New York Post, Tom Brady's going to get $375 million over the next 10 years to broadcast, to be an analyst on Fox's NFL coverage. A 10-year deal that'll kick in when he finally decides to retire for good. So yeah, when you combine the I'm retiring because of my family to that lasting how many days?
40.
40 days.
Yep.
To already knocking out what he's going to do after his career is over. Yeah, I guess all that stuff about the family was all a ruse.
Are you old enough to remember when Joe Montana was awful on NBC?
Yes, I am.
Okay.
I am.
I'm not saying Tom Brady's going to be that bad, but he's not Peyton Manning. In this particular instance, he is. I don't think he's going to be worth that money. I don't find Tom Brady that compelling.
I don't find Tom Brady
the talker. Tom Brady the talker.
Yeah, I don't find Tom Brady that compelling. But in fairness to Tom Brady, we only see what he wants us to see in the first. For number
sure.
One. Number two, Tony Romo was not exactly thought of somebody with having a personality. And then he ends up taking the NFL world by storm with his CBS.
My guess
broadcast.
Is if you talk to the people who like were on the Cowboys beat, though, they would say
maybe.
Tony was a
compelling
talker.
If you talk to people behind the scenes with Tom Brady.
There's no possible way because he doesn't let anybody into his life.
We'll see what happens. But you know my general feeling on these types of stories. I mean, yes, you can gawk at the price tag that Fox is throwing at Tom Brady, but ultimately, Tom Brady is not going to be the reason why I watch or don't watch an NFL game. In the same way that Tony Romo or whoever's on the call gets me to be like, oh, well, I'm going to watch this game because of this play-by-play person. The game is the reason why you watch. This money that's being thrown at players really, I think, is a prestige arms race more than anything else between these networks. Like, oh, well, we got this guy. Well, we got this guy. Well, we got this guy. And when you consider the amount of money that's being thrown at the NFL, well, they clearly have enough money in the coffers to throw at these particular players. It's the OG. Alongside Joe Giglio, I'm Joe Obies. We're outside PNC Arena ahead of Game 5 for the Carolina Hurricanes and the Boston Bruins. I will admit that when we talked about this series last week, yes, I was being over the top when I said the Carolina Hurricanes in 2. And I mean, anybody who took me seriously on that, you might need to get your head checked. But if you were listening a little bit more closely, my general attitude for the series was that it was going to go 5. That Boston, with their big heavies, they were too good not to win a game. They weren't. It wasn't like they weren't going to adjust, which is exactly what they did in Game 3 in Boston. Not surprised that they won that game. It was the Game 4 that was the surprise and why tonight's contest takes on a hell of a lot more meaning. Let's play You're Full of Giglio.
It's time to play You're Full of Giglio. Listen, I've known Joe has been full of shit since 1975, so this is old news to me. Here's Joe Ovius with the rules, but I can already tell you, Giglio is definitely full of shit. And I should know, I'm his mother.
Thank you very much, Nora. Yeah, Giglio's got some things he's going to say. It's up to the listeners to call him out on any potential BS. Looks like we got a one question or one statement. Oh, we got a late entry. Okay, looks like we're going to play a normal game. We got Craig in Durham. Craig, what's up, man?
Hey, how's it going?
We're good, man. Thanks for listening. Thanks for calling in and playing. We got Caroline in Raleigh. Caroline, how are you?
Good. How are you?
Good. Just waiting for this game to start in about 90 minutes or so. Thanks for listening. Thanks for playing. All right, so Giglio's going to say something. If you think what Giglio said is true, you don't have to say anything. Stay quiet. You're good. If you think what Giglio said is false, shout out your name, and Nora will do the rest.
You're full of s***, Giglio.
If you're right, you'll get tickets to go see Five Finger Death Punch along with Megadeth. If he duped you, it goes to the other person. Let's play.
All right, guys. The Carolina Hurricanes have never won the President's Trophy. Would have been true. Good silence. How about this one? The Boston Bruins have never won the President's Trophy.
Craig.
Caroline?
Craig.
You're full of s***, Giglio.
I am. The Bruins won the President's Trophy in 1920 and previously in 13 and 14. Congratulations, Craig. You're going to see the Five Finger Death Punch.
It's a great name.
All right. It is a great name for a bit.
Caroline, sorry. Maybe next time, Craig. Congrats, man. Thanks for listening to the two of you, and enjoy the hockey game tonight.